friendship sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Hi, listening friends. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Now, yesterday, when I called up Pastor Jason Schiffo, co-host for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, we launched right into prayer and began our discussion on the topic of suffering, which will continue today. And you ask, why are we calling him up on the phone and he's not in the studio? Because of scheduling conflicts, convenience of travel, and I didn't want to miss out on the opportunity of having Pastor Schiffo available for today's edition of Mark and Friends. And you ask, who is Pastor Jason Schiffo? Well, he's the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, Illinois. God raised him up clearly to assist me with the morning program, and it all began with him coming in and doing a Testimony Tuesday program. Many of you have heard this story, but after the program, actually midway through the program, I marveled at his Bible knowledge, his heart for the Lord, his desire for people to know Jesus, his passion for community, all of us drawing together and worshiping, and just so many aspects, a sense of humor, the camaraderie that we felt in the studio. And I asked him, I said, Jason, might you entertain the idea to come in once a week at the time? And he said, well, let me pray it through. Let me talk with my elders. Let me talk with my wife. And, you know, it's not a huge time commitment. And so it seemed like within that week, he began, or the following week, began joining me on Wednesdays. And then we one time talked about, hey, how about going through a book of the Bible or studying some specific chapter or theme? And we started on a couple different series, and then we got into a couple books. I think it was Ruth, and we'd been through X. And so I've cherished those Wednesdays and Fridays. And then we started doing some book interviews together and some authors we had on and some other artists or musicians or some local people. And because we had the theme on suffering and how God uses it in our lives, how it's a part of his plan, it's not something to be resentful or angry about, but there's oftentimes very specific things. Maybe it's he's going to refine our character. Maybe in the case of a couple that I just met with this past Sunday, they said it was through suffering, through anguish, through heartache, that initially this person's wife drew close to the Lord, kind of gave up on the marriage, and God brought a redemptive plan, some healing, and he saw the enormous changes in her life and says, what is this about this Jesus that's making such an influence in my wife? And that restoration, and I'm hoping in the coming days to share them with our radio listening family, but they found that point of suffering, a point where they went to their knees, sought after something beyond themselves, and they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you made a statement in a Facebook posting, and we mentioned it just briefly yesterday, that the greatest gift in suffering is to be known by Christ and in community. And I think that'll be something I hope we can address a little bit more today. But suffering truly is a part of God's plan, huh?
Yeah, and we'll address that Facebook posting even right now. If you're in a tough season right now, and by the way, I want to say this, that some people will say, but suffering, you know, I mean, my life is really great right now. I mean, everything is wonderful right now. That's good. Then take this and put this in your toolbox, because there will be seasons of suffering. There will be seasons of struggle. There will be seasons of strife that do come, because they are, again, part of God's measure for forming and conforming us, for making us to look more like Jesus. But in the midst of those seasons, oh my gosh, we are so blessed by our Lord. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, and I think if you're going through a tough season, or even if you're not, go and highlight those in your Bible, you know, underline them with a crayon. I don't know how you do it, but just make sure you mark those off, because it's a great verse. It says this. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort in which we ourselves have been comforted by God. As we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so that Christ, we share abundantly in comfort too. If we're afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings we endure. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that you share in our sufferings, and you will also share in our comfort. What I love about that verse is that right away, if you've got your Bible and you looked at that, two words just jump off the typeface. And those two words are affliction or suffering and comfort. They appear over and over in that passage. The God of all comfort who comforts us in all afflictions so that we may comfort those that have any affliction with the comfort that we have been comforted by. I mean, those two words just jump off the page because you know what? Those two words in God's economy, they always go together. People who love God and who stand beneath affliction are comforted by the God whom they love. Suffering or affliction is what I would call this. I would call it pressure or stress. Maybe it's what many of you perhaps are feeling right now. If you're on your way to work right now, it's the morning program, and you're on your way, and you're thinking, man, I got to go to work. Oh, what kind of day is it going to be? Or maybe you're getting home. This is the evening drive time, and you're thinking, oh, man, I got to go back to that place tomorrow. And it's that stress and that pressure, that anxiety or that anxiousness you feel about what lies ahead that seems to tear your day apart or it's going to keep you awake all night. It gnaws at you continually and threatens your well-being. It refuses to go away, refuses to leave you alone. It depresses you and darkens your day. And you know what? I would say this. It's a place that many of us are, a place that many of us have been. It's a place that many of us live in. And if we think that kind of stress and that kind of pressure is just inherent to us, we're short-sighted. Like if you're sitting right now and you're going, nobody knows the kind of season that I'm in right now. Paul did when he wrote this passage in 2 Corinthians. Paul knew exactly what it was like. In fact, later on in this passage, I believe it's in verse 12, he says that he wished that he was dead, he says. He says it was unto death that they were under stress and suffering and affliction. And yet, we sometimes get short-sighted and we view everything today as being more powerful or only being today, only having happened today. But Paul experienced the same stress and pressure that we feel and that we experience. And Paul also experienced the comfort of God, which is available to each and every one of us. Now, comfort is more than just a comfort has another cultural kind of thing. You know, we have to deal with all of our cultural problems, all of our kind of cultural lenses that we view things through. Because comfortable, immediately a lot of us think bed, couch, lazy boy, vacation. We think those kinds of things. And comfort is more than just physical ease or freedom from discomfort, because biblically, Paul doesn't mean that. In fact, this is something that when I was studying about suffering, and I did a number of weeks of just reading and trying to understand suffering, so that I can help people in seasons of suffering, but also so I can better understand when I come across those seasons. That the Greek word for comfort is kratos. And kratos means literally to strengthen. It's often associated with the power of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. The Bible frequently calls the Holy Spirit the comforter, but really the Holy Spirit is what he comforts by doing what? Strengthening his people, kratos. So the Holy Spirit is the one who strengthens us by his presence when we're in afflictions. You know, in Philippians chapter 4, it says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned that whatever situation, I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. And in every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Kratos. All things through him who what? Comforts me. I know how to be hungry and be okay in that because God comforts me. I know how to have a lot and be okay because God comforts me. I know what it means because God, Kratos, strengthens and comforts me. And Paul knew this because he experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit, the strengthening of God, which gave him a sense of joy, not happiness. Let's not get twisted on that. Joy is not happiness. Christmas has somehow co-opted that word for us. So when we hear joy to the world, we think we all have a cup of eggnog and we're all singing and everything's wonderful. It is possible to have joy in the midst of seasons that are incredibly tough because you know that the God of all mercies, the God of all comfort is comforting you in that season. And that's far different than happiness, which is momentary, fleeting, and we chase it and we oftentimes don't find it. And so we have joy in the midst of the storm, in the midst of those pressures because of God's generous provision in our affliction. And it amazes me how many Christians I come across who are dreading facing their daily lives. They feel pressured, they feel stressed, they feel tied up in knots, and yet they never give themselves over to the provision which can stand that kind of pressure, which is the comfort of God, the kratos of God, the strengthening of God. You know, somebody said to me one time, they said, why is there so much suffering in the world. And I said, you know, I think it's because we're relying on our limited strength instead of the unlimited strength of God. You know, whatever kind of stress, whatever kind of problem, whatever kind of season you're in, God's comfort, God's strengthening is available for whatever puts you underneath stress or duress. You know, remember the Apostle Paul, we talked about it yesterday in that passage in Corinthians where he talks about his thorn. What did he say? God says, my grace is sufficient, not deficient. God says, my grace is sufficient. And when God says that, he doesn't mean for that particular moment. He means in every moment. And not only that, but Paul heard that and he believed it. That's why he writes and he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we might be comforted in all of our afflictions. And he begins that by saying what? Blessed. And we've talked about this many times on the radio programs and in different teachings. But blessed is the Hebrew word ashrei, which means lucky if there was no connotation of chance at all. There is, if you didn't get lucky and hit the lottery and God showed up in your season of suffering. It wasn't like all of a sudden like, oh, jackpot, thank goodness God's here. No, that's not what it is. You were lucky because there was no chance that God was not going to be there. God was going to be there because by his nature, he's the God of all mercy and God of all comfort. He was going to be there. There was no luck involved. In fact, the only luck that was involved is you going, gosh darn it, am I lucky because God is so for me. And again, that's luck with no connotation of chance. God is for you eternally and always. It's an embodiment or a part of his character. And so how does Paul see these things? Paul sees these things as being sent into his life. It's crazy to me how Paul prays for churches. I almost wonder, in almost kind of a comedic way, if people were like, Paul, don't pray for us, please. You know, because Paul would pray like, I pray that you would suffer and you would see affliction and therefore you would be worthy of the kingdom of God. Paul, please don't pray. Paul, can you? I mean, when I read the New Testament, and I don't know how you feel about this, Mark, but there seems to be almost maybe a disparity between the way that Paul prays for people and for churches and the way we pray for people and churches.
Yes, yep.
You know, we pray that we would be delivered from, that we would be blessed in, we would be, and Paul does pray those things. He prays that we'd be blessed and we'd be that, but Paul also prays that you would suffer so that you might look more like Christ. And so one of the things I would say to people is that seasons of suffering draw us closer to God. They draw us closer to God. How are you ever going to find the comfort of God and the strengthening of God if you're never willing to be uncomfortable and you're always wanting to do things in your own strength? If I'm never willing to be uncomfortable, then why do I need his comfort? And if I'm never willing to seek his strength because I'm willing to be weak, then why would I ever need him for that either? And so we have to give ourselves over to that so that we can find it and we can know it. And in that verse in 2 Corinthians, Paul says this, for we share abundantly in Christ's suffering so that through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. You know, the opportunity to suffer is the opportunity to draw near to God in comfort. I want you to notice this because this to me was just amazing. I love how the Holy Spirit put this into this verse, that the suffering is abundant. We share abundantly in Christ's suffering, but then what? So through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort too. Did you notice that the response to the pressure was equal to the pressure? If there's abundant suffering, there's abundant comfort. So God meets the affliction with the same amount of comfort that is needed to bring us through that, to allow us to stand beneath it, to allow us to build endurance within it. The release, I would say, is equal to the pressure. And unfortunately, though many times I think in seasons of suffering, the pressure produces in us a pessimism. You know, and I say this from experience, sadly from experience, not ignorance, that many times in seasons of suffering or tough seasons in my life, I developed an unhealthy pessimism, a tendency to see or anticipate or emphasize only the bad things, the undesirable outcomes, the problems. And in that, I think many of us complain and criticize, and we capsize our ability to access the very thing we need, which is the strength of God. You know, Romans 5 and verse 3 says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. As Christians, we're to welcome suffering as challenges and opportunities and occasions to discover the strengthening of God. And let's be honest, we may often feel as though we're going through these seasons alone, but the truth is, we hardly ever do. Someone is always watching over us. I joke with people all the time. I said, if you're a Christian, you have three instant friends. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You're never alone. You have these people in your life, so you don't go through these seasons of suffering alone. The second thing I would say about suffering is this. Seasons of suffering are not just for you and for I, the people who maybe are going through the season, but they're for the benefits of others, too. As we go through that passage in 2 Corinthians, it says, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort for which we ourselves have been comforted by God. It's fascinating that the people around us learn about what suffering and what seasons of suffering and what it means to suffer well is by watching us suffer, by seeing that. And one of the ways to understand that is to understand our place. And I've shared this with the folks who were at the first night of the Genesis study. It was a piece of scripture I read in my devotional that really just grabbed a hold of me. God comes to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3, and he says, ask what you want, and I will give it to you. I shall give it to you. And Solomon says this. He says, you have shown great and steadfast love for your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness and righteousness and uprightness and with his heart towards you. And you have kept for him this great steadfast love. You've given him a son to sit on the throne. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant, he's talking about himself, a king in the place of David, my father. And then he says this, although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or to come in. This is the guy who we ascribe the greatest wisdom, the wisest man in all the world, Solomon. And what does he say? He says, I'm like a little child. I don't even know how to go out and how to come in. And yet, right after that, what does he ask God for? He asks God for God's wisdom, wisdom that would be revealed to him through scriptures, through the scriptures, and through God himself, through his spirit. And so sometimes I think that we need to, in these tough seasons, know that like a little child, we can crawl up on our father's lap because we're like a little child sometimes. We don't know how to go in and how to come out. And let's be honest with you, in a tough season of life, that's most of us. We don't know how to come in. We don't know how to go out. We don't even know how to get up in the morning. We don't know how to, and, you know, I mean, that's why when we get in these tough seasons, some of us do crazy, you know, we eat a whole dozen donuts. When we don't make good choices, we do some crazy things. And that's because we're like little kids. We don't know what to do. And so what Solomon says is, you know what, Lord, I can have anything I want. Can I just crawl up in your lap? Can you just help me out here? And you know what, that's what Paul says to the church here in Corinth, too. He says, when I suffer, it's for your comfort. It's just that it's that you might see what God can do. You know what, Solomon, when he was governing those people by the very nature of what he asked for, they were seeing what God could do, not necessarily what Solomon could do. They were seeing how God would use Solomon, but they were more so seeing how God could govern them, because it was God's wisdom and revelation that Solomon was using to govern them. It's the same thing for Paul. Paul says, you know what? I suffer for your comfort because through this, you're going to see what God can do. You're going to see how God can take me through it. You're going to watch me, and you're going to see how to handle tough situations and tough seasons of life. You know, I've found a lot of people that I watch when they go through tough seasons of life, and I'm amazed at how they get better. They don't get bitter. That their steadfastness, joy in the Lord transcends the place that they are. We had a family in our church that just lost a son at a very young age. I would talk to them the week leading up to the funeral, and they could laugh. They could smile. Now, there were tears, and there was a deep sense of sorrow. But they could laugh. And you know what? I have journeyed through people in all kinds of suffering, but I'm going to tell you what. During that week, I learned so much from them by watching them patiently enduring and trusting God, that understanding that he was in charge and that he was going to take them through it, that he wasn't necessarily going to take it away, but he was going to take them through it, and that in the midst of that, they would have joy. The 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. You know, that's what the ESV says, but you know what I really love is what the same verse says in the NLT. It says this, for our present troubles are small and they won't last very long. That everything has a season to it. And what we're enduring in this season, it too shall come to pass. It'll come to pass. And through it, you'll be strengthened by it, by patiently enduring it and discovering the strength that God alone can give you. Not your strength, not your ability to endure, but God's ability to do that for his glory and for his renown.
Jason, with just a minute left, see if you can wrap this up with a quick answer and exhortation, because Paul also says, share in our sufferings. So there was like an element of community where people could enter into his suffering. And maybe for that listener today that knows somebody that's suffering, how can maybe we be the hands, the voice, the comfort that God would provide through us in a tangible way?
You know what? I think sometimes it is as simple as inviting somebody over for a meal. It is as simple as making it known to them that you want to pray for them, making it known that you are willing to sit and listen, not sit and talk, but sit and listen. The greatest way you can show somebody you care is to listen, to be a steadfast listener. You know, Paul says, our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that you share in our sufferings and you will also share in our comfort. And how hopeful is that? When somebody comes and they just sit with you, even in the worst season, speaking of that family whose son passed away, the father told me, he said, I just so appreciated that you were there. He didn't tell me that I shared with him some sort of great spiritual platitude. He just said, you know what, I was so happy you were there. And sometimes that's the most important thing that we can do. You know what, because, listen, you're known by Christ. And so he is, as the God of all mercies and the God of all comfort, comforting you. But then there's this element of being known in community. And sometimes we all feel so ambiguous. And what we really need in a season of suffering is somebody to come next to us and say, hey, Sally or John or Charlie, are you okay? Mm. Can I sit down? I mean, I just love to listen. You can bend my ear. I'd love to just talk. Do you want to grab something to eat? My wife makes the best cheesy potatoes in the world. Can we bring some over to your house for you? Maybe we'll stay and eat with you. I mean, sometimes I think that's the most powerful thing we can do, is allow them to know that in the midst of their suffering, they haven't been lost, they haven't been shuffled away, they haven't been thrown away. They are known by Christ and his community.
I like how you said it, that we can enter into their suffering, and knowing that suffering is a part of God's plan. Not that that makes it any easier, but in a sense, it really kind of does, doesn't it?
I think it really does. I think that you're going to find that when you enter into those seasons with people who are having a tough time, who are suffering, you're going to be blessed through it. You're going to find yourself in a place where you're going to walk away from that and go, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because the Lord doesn't give you something that you can't, that's just chaff to be blown. The Lord gives you stuff to use and to apply. And you're going to put that in your toolbox, and you're going to find out, wow, I needed to know how to walk through that season of losing somebody or whatever it is, because at some point I might lose somebody.
Well, listener, I think the calling is pretty clear to enter into other people's suffering. If you're that person going through suffering, it is a part of God's plan. He can use it to draw you closer to himself, to relinquish control over the situation, the circumstances, whatever it is. Draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. He's a sovereign, good God, and nothing can happen outside of his permissive will. And suffering is a part of his plan. So draw near to him today. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
When the morning falls on the farthest hill, I will sing his name, I will praise him still. When dark trials come and my heart is filled with a